Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
The plan is for us to go to Vegas. We're all bringing wives, which has its own degree of lameness attached to it, on a work trip to Vegas. And then Shane is solo at the beginning of the trip. And by the end of the trip, we're hopeful that he won't be.
A lot of strippers there, Jeff.
Are you allowed to go to strip clubs by yourself?
Of course.
Yeah? They're kind of weird, though, right? If I walked into Spearmint Rhino by myself.
Not in Vegas.
If I could bring home a stripper.
Ain't it hypocritical that so many nuns also work part-time as strippers?
Well.
To Chicago?
To Chicago.
To see if any of those Vegas strippers want to relocate.
You really are selling yourself there.
Sometimes I'm walking with my daughter, I'm talking to my daughter, I'm looking at her, I'm pushing her stroller, and sometimes I pick up and I just stare at her and I realize my only job in life is to keep her off the pole.
And of all of the men who come through here with all of the jobs and all of the status and all of the money, it's going to be Shane's meat. It's going to be the Instagram account that gets her to relocate and rethink her life choices.
Get her into Rosemary.
Good. It's a good point.
Hey, baby, you ever been to Rosemary?
Wow. That must have been some wedding. It's not too often that you see the bride jump out of her own cake.
Let's just put it this way. They've seen worse. You would not be the first person solo going into the strip club.
I don't think I want to.
Well, after you have all of those margaritas at the pool, you'll be feeling a very different tune.
Well, this might be a first. A 32-year-old Houston man files suit against a stripper.
Yeah, he says he loaned the dancer money and he wants it back.
I don't believe in loans because I don't want to pay anybody back. I've given him gifts too. You know, I mean, how do I get my booty and boobs back?
Still, both sides say they've learned a lesson. Robert says he's not dating any more strippers.
I'm in love with a stripper.
Here goes the one, two, three.
And here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go, Jeff.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We'll be out in Vegas tomorrow night doing the show from there Thursday and Friday. So we hope you come out and see us. If you know people that are going to be in Vegas the weekend of the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, have them stop by Stadium Swim. They got multiple options if you want to come out to Vegas. Sportsbook, Stadium Swim, Man Caves. Also, you want to go out there for opening day, take me out to Vegas. Every team, all 30 teams playing on opening day. They'll be celebrating that at Circa. There's no better place to watch every pitch live. So come on out. We can wait. We'll be there Thursday and Friday. And we'll tell you where you can see us if you're not willing to go to Vegas, because we got an event coming up much sooner than that.
Every pitch live, like you've been watching of the World Baseball Classic, baby. Come on now.
No.
1 hour from now, the USA and Japan in the final, the much ballyhooed final. And the USA lineup is out, and you know, everybody's wondering if this is the night that Ohtani faces his teammate Mike Trout in the late innings. Could be absolutely awesome stuff for what's been a great tournament.
Yeah, it has.
Danny's going to be locked and loaded, everybody.
I will make it a point to tune in. I've seen a little of it. I'm not, like, actively trying to avoid it. I'm not the biggest, like, I don't know, like, what am I supposed to do, like, USA, rah, rah, rah for international baseball? Like, that's just...
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, have some pride in your country, man.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's there aren't high-profile Cubs in it, right? Javier Assad.
That's okay.
No, I understand.
But there's no Cub in this tonight.
And there's no Cub in it tonight. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think it's certainly been easier for a White Sox fan to have a connection to Lance Lynn, Tim Anderson, Yoan Moncada, Eloy, Luis Robert. Like, all the best players are in it.
Is it because the Cubs are bad, you think?
I think that's part of it. Also, you know, hand up, like, extra baseball. You know, I'd rather watch March Madness. Like, I'm just being honest.
No, that's the thing. Tonight. This has replaced my March Madness.
Yeah.
It really has. I've watched so much of it, and you feel it. And it's similar, which I know you talked about yesterday in terms of the single elimination feelings of it. But it's that, yeah, there's some national identity going on, but it's also just like the pride of the people and the freaking passion of the players. They're very invested. Everybody's invested, and the atmosphere is unbelievable.
Well, and that's
what's jumping off the TV.
And that's great. And what I have seen of it, because I've watched a few innings here and there, like what I have seen of it, that's the part that is tangible and noticeable. And I talked about it with Benetti yesterday, and we've asked players about it. We asked Carlos Marmol at Cubs convention, like the idea of
Pedro Strop.
I keep flipping those around. Yeah. I said Pedro Strop
third time too.
I don't know why. And then we talked to Liam Hendricks about it. Also, it's been I genuinely believe that like whatever you could do to take 10% of the enthusiasm, because you're never gonna get it. It's a fool's errand to say, well, why can't baseball be more like the NFL? It's different. Sheer volume of games. Well, why can't Major League Baseball be more like the World Baseball Classic? It's different.
Yeah, no, it's different because there's 162 games, and that's the way it's designed in full. And even in the playoffs, there are series. This is like game 163 again and again, game 7 again and again and again, every night, win or go home. That you can't replicate that.
But and I also think it's totally plausible that Yoan Moncada cares more or has more feeling and attachment and personal pride to playing for Team Cuba than the White Sox.
It is doubtless. Like sometimes you see players who bust their hump like crazy every night, and just they are those people. And there's some of those in that tournament. You're watching Venezuela. Jose Altuve always plays that way, you know?
Yeah.
Ronald Acuna Jr. always plays that way. You watch Cuba and you see Yoan Moncada. He does not always play that way. So there's been some people who absolutely have risen to the occasion, and it makes you wonder how you can get that out of them when you are their employer. I'm sure.
Yeah, and absolutely, and that part of it's fascinating to me. Like what you can do to make the fan experience better. Because I mean, I think that is part of it too. It's not just the one of 162, and it's not just the single elimination. Those are right. Huge factors of it. It's that so many of the international fans are treating it like the World Cup environment. You know, like when you tune into the World Cup on TV,
oh, yeah.
That's part of it.
And
that is what makes it translates to, okay, I'm not the biggest soccer fan in the world, but damn, look how much all these people care all around the world. This is a big deal. And that comes through. Whereas if you tune into a game, even at the best venues in Major League Baseball, at Wrigley, at Fenway, wherever the case may be, it's never like that. It's never like that. You could use more noisemakers and more music and more... You know, the best you can hope for at most American baseball regular season venues is an ovation and people standing in a close game late with two strikes. That's like the best you can hope for.
I find myself just enjoying this for what it is. And I've noticed a lot of people, some writers, Ben Clemens wrote a thing at FanGraphs today. Some other folks have written about how they were anti-World Baseball Classic, and now they find themselves just appreciating it for what it is. Because you mentioned the World Cup. When our guy John Paul Morosi referenced this particular tournament, this WBC, as an inflection point, as like a possible before and after point for baseball as a global sport, he was talking about it in reference to European journalists. There's like a Spanish journalist who's at this thing and said, yeah, this is the World Cup. This is basically what it feels like to be at a World Cup. There's European journalists and European nations thinking of it that way. Because baseball has a lot of fans, but globally, cricket has more fans. Rugby has more fans globally. Of course, soccer and basketball. So as a global sport, this is the inflection point for baseball. And that is irrespective of the Cubs and the Sox and all the big league teams. And
yeah.
Your guy Passan wrote about that today, that this is bigger than just MLB. So getting them to, you know, see that and understand the largesse of it and the importance of it, is that part is interesting to me.
I think so too. And like again, to be clear, like I think that there is something of like everyone needs to love the thing that I love as much as I love it. Like I respect the World Cup as a sporting event. Mm-hmm. I don't really care who wins. You know what?
As you watch, do you get invested? Because I was that way about the World Cup, and then by the final, I'm like, come on, Messi. I was all in on Argentina as I watched and found myself invested.
Not really.
That happens to me every 4 years with the World
Cup.
Yeah,
I mean, in terms of who wins, maybe if I've bet on it, maybe if there's a storyline that I fall in love with. But and by the way, it's basically the same thing with March Madness. I'm just like rooting for good games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just rooting for good sports at the high. Like the World Cup final was unbelievable.
Yeah, one of the greatest sporting events we've ever watched.
It was an unbelievable sporting event.
Wouldn't that be so fun?
And so
I
hope that that's what happens tonight. That would be fantastic.
I hope that that happens tonight. It did happen last night, and that's the thing that people are still kind of buzzing about.
Yeah,
because like Japan and Mexico was outrageous, and just like Japan being down to their final moment and having the walk-off after Mexico was in charge the whole way, and this idea of possibly Japan versus USA in the final and Ohtani versus Trout and the whole thing last night delivered. So I'll be surprised if tonight does after that.
It's hard
last
to.
Night. It's hard to.
It's hard to.
In, especially in baseball.
Yeah, and one game and all of that. But there is a weird juxtaposition where we are conditioned as baseball fans in this country
mm-hmm.
to care about our team. That's how the sport works for the vast majority of the fans. And I know you push back on that when I say that sometimes, but like it is in the data of the sport.
I know what's interesting, I think, is what this tournament is doing for those who have joined in. Because it's divorced from that partisan thing,
yeah.
Then you're just kind of feeling the games and feeling the sport. So it ends up being a showcase for the game as opposed to the messiness of the teams being involved in the mindset.
Sure.
So it's been good for the game, period. Yeah.
I don't think that the argument of guys are getting hurt in the World Baseball Classic, so that's a bad thing, carries any weight. Because guys get hurt all the time. But what I do think is a valid counterfactual. It's like, look how much this matters. Look how significant it is. Listen to Lance Lynn talk about what he wanted to do versus what the White Sox said. This is the championship game tonight. He pitched on Saturday.
Yeah.
Right? He pitched on Saturday.
So this would be his side day where
Sunday off day, Monday off day.
And
Tuesday, you throw on the side between starts.
In a playoff atmosphere, that would mean that you're available for the manager to
if
be
if this
a,
really
a
was game seven or the biggest deal in the world, you'd be available. Here's how Lance Lynn said that went down.
Lance, I'm assuming because you threw the other night, you're done, right? With the WBC, you're done?
I asked the White Sox if I could close or something like that tomorrow, and they were like, absolutely not. So, I think, is you supposedly set up to throw the championship game?
No, Yamamoto.
But Ohtani might close out the game. Angels are letting him close things out, apparently.
Well, yeah. if he's slated to be able to close, then I'm gonna have to get on a phone with Rick today and see if I can.
Wow.
Right, so that's from the AJ Pierzynski podcast. Couple of things jump out to me from that clip. AJ and the other guy who I don't know who it is are laughing. We think Lance Lynn's laughing because it sounded deadly serious.
I think he didn't know that Ohtani was given the green light. In fact, Perry Minasian, the Angels GM, was asked today, is Ohtani going to pitch tonight? And he said, that's his call.
I don't think Lance cares what Rick wants him to do. If there's an opportunity and the game is close and they're within a run or they're up a couple runs, Lance will go out there and close.
Dude, Pedro Grifol said today, 100% there's no Lance Lynn in this game tonight.
And you got to be careful. Gauge what your franchise should do in comparison to what the Angels are doing to try to keep Shohei Ohtani happy.
Correct.
Right? They want him to come back next year. You
absolutely.
Know? So you got to be careful with that.
That's true.
They are good.
If I know anything about Lance, like
if they're in a position for him to be a factor, he's going
to
pitch regardless.
He would want to.
But Team USA won't let him.
No, they won't.
They shouldn't be so soft.
They will.
It's true, but
they will listen to the teams that have allowed their players to play in it.
I get it.
And that is why it's hard for me as a, I don't know, major league baseball fan to be like, yes, this clearly matters to the players, and it clearly matters to the fans, but you can't tell me this game tonight is the biggest deal in the world if the White Sox can just be like, no, you're not available.
Well,
then it's not like Game 7 of the World Series.
But you're giving MLB supremacy. You're allowing that. You're saying that because the White Sox are not letting him pitch, then it's clearly not the biggest game in the world. No, the White Sox are being selfish with their guy, and they're allowed to do it. I'm allowed to say that I think it's gross and short-sighted, and we'll have to say that to different organizations. That part of it needs to be worked out above Lance Lynn's pay grade and above Rick Hahn's pay grade.
But like, so you think that it's like, gross and short-sighted that a team that's trying to win the World Series, whose season starts in like 10 days, mm-hmm. with one of their most expensive players, mm-hmm. thinks at this point in the ramp-up period, he shouldn't be pitching in high-leverage spots out of the bullpen when he's a starter on 3 days rest?
I think he knows his body. I think that dude more than just about anybody. And you think about it on an individual basis if you want. Would you trust Lance Lynn to go out there and throw a little bit and be okay? I sure as hell would.
Listen, I'm sure he would be fine. The odds are overwhelmingly in favor of him.
Because he's that guy. If it was Dylan Cease and you're worried about that, because somebody who hasn't blown up for the second time or whatever, okay. But this is Lance Lynn? Yeah.
Oh, but that is interesting. So, like, if Dylan Cease...
Yeah.
You'd say, but then it still is saying that
they have supremacy.
That the will of an April game for the White Sox is a bigger deal than the final of the World Baseball Classic.
Mm.
And you know, so that part of it to me makes it hard personally for me to be like, this is the biggest game in the world. This is anything more than an exhibition. That doesn't mean it's not cool. That doesn't mean it doesn't matter to the players. It doesn't mean it doesn't matter to the fans. It doesn't mean it's not good for baseball internationally. But, like, I'm going to watch a bigger baseball game in 2 weeks.
Speaks, does it sound to you like he's trying to make excuses?
Yeah, no, it sounds like he's trying to find a reason to denigrate it.
To not watch it, right?
But I have to like it as much as you?
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You do not.
You do not. I think you do. Matches energy, man.
To me, that is like an... Interesting.
There's no way you're not watching a bigger baseball game in 2 weeks. That's one of 162.
But to the White Sox and to White Sox fans and to Cubs fans.
So yes, so you are a you're an MLB fan more than a baseball fan. Which you
100%, 100%, right. Absolutely.
Right. You tell me you don't want to watch Merrill Lynch pitch tonight. Whatever the hell his name is.
No, it's Merrill Reese, the longtime Eagles broadcaster.
Who is this guy pitching tonight? It's Merrill Kelly. Yeah,
Merrill Kelly. That's it.
Doesn't feel right. But no, I think you've hit on it. You've hit on it. It's an MLB fan or baseball fan or both, and I think this. The event being as excellent as it is forcing a lot of people, including players. And obviously fans, to think about what are they out here for? What are you watching for?
And I agree with what Passan wrote and said today. They shouldn't be in conflict with each other. They should be, it should be a symbiotic relationship, because they obviously, I mean, they're using their stadiums, their broadcasters, their players.
Yeah.
Like obviously there is a relationship here, and that's a good thing, and it's great for baseball.
But it's not fully symbiotic.
Of course it isn't.
It is not.
And I don't think it ever can be.
I don't know if it ever can be either, because of pitchers, because of the terror that every team has for the health of pitchers, and because of the money that is outpaid. So
right.
I wonder what parameters there are between like Premier League soccer teams and World Cup soccer teams. It's like when you give them to the country, but once you give them, you're hands off. But same for Olympic basketball, right? Does an NBA team, when they're handing a player for Olympic basketball, do they say, by the way, do some load management with him? There might be some conversations like that.
It's off season. is a huge difference
right.
with NBA basketball. And those guys play year-round, and obviously the injury risk is much lower. But the biggest thing for NBA basketball is it's the offseason. Mm-hmm. And the biggest difference for the World Cup is there is no argument anywhere by anyone on any level that that is the biggest soccer event in the world, right? There's absolutely a debate.
Because FIFA has found a way to make it unbelievably profitable.
Well, no,
and this thing is not that profitable. World Baseball Classic is not. There is no governing body. It doesn't exist as its own league outside of the other baseball leagues in terms of making money. But maybe it will in the future as it's getting larger.
Maybe it will. But all I'm saying, there is absolutely a debate on whether or not the World Baseball Classic final is bigger than the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what the numbers are going to do in terms of the ratings for the World Baseball Classic in Japanese households.
Outrageous.
Is unbelievable. Yeah. And that is great for like the growth of the game. So MLB should be invested in it, but because so many of these players are coming from Major League Baseball teams,
mm-hmm.
isn't it always going to have to be in Arizona and Florida at the site of spring training?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know,
and that's gonna, you know, it's like, that's not like the World Cup or the Olympics rotates around.
No, it isn't. But it feels right because it is an American sport, and because it is, if you're gonna do the timing of this, it does need to coincide with spring training. I think the timing has been great in terms of finding an interest. It's getting all of us who've been baseball starved are diving in, and a whole bunch of other people are like, yeah, there's not much going on. Let me watch this. Hey, this is great.
Oh, it's clearly working.
This is a win.
A massive win.
Heady times for WBC lovers and baseball lovers.
Oh, yeah. And so don't get it. Like, huge win. It's working.
They can't go back to, like, you know, December and warm temperatures in January. No way.
And it'll continue to grow. And that's because the players are powerful and the players love it. The players love it. The fans love it. So it is clearly a win. And
it's a big
game
tonight.
Well, that's what we need to discuss. We need to discuss how big of a game it is. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
A lot of talk going on these days about who is the greatest ever. The raw talent. The most clutch moments. I get it. It's a tough call. But maybe the best way to settle this debate is to play it out head to head. I'll watch that.
That's Michael Jordan promoting the World Baseball Classic final.
And you don't see it coming till halfway through when he says the best going head to head, and then they show Ohtani and Trout. And the possibility for tonight. And Michael Jordan, I'll watch that. Good job, baseball. They're out there trying. It might be an awkward marriage as teams say no and Mark DeRosa leaves pitchers out there to get their work in.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, it's the biggest baseball game in the world. But it's also a vehicle for spring training exercise.
Hey, that's weird. Some of that awkwardness needs to be worked out. But it has not damaged this thing at all. Just been an absolute freaking joy. And there's baseball marketing stars. And some of the stars are stepping up. Tim Anderson hits ninth tonight, which means he's that secondary leadoff guy before you go back to the top of the USA order. And it's Mookie Betts and Mike Trout. So
it's a good team.
Oh my God, it's such a good team.
Who are they playing?
Joplin? Joplin?
I don't know about you guys, but I haven't forgotten about Pearl Harbor. This is, it's still fresh on my mind.
You're a big America guy.
I'm ready for revenge.
And I think that's the traditional way to exact revenge.
Baseball game. Baseball,
is a baseball game.
Yes.
Yeah. Not Hiroshima, not Nagasaki, the World Baseball Classic.
Okay.
You know, I asked the great Ted Williams about guys. Of course, they didn't have Asian pitchers back in those days here, but they had guys with some unusual motions.
They had them, but they were in Japan.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
It does. Steve Stone will be on the show Friday.
Oh, God.
That bomb was so unnecessary when you think about it. Not nice to the Hawaiian people.
Oh.
Any more geopolitical takes? We can get out of here.
Anything? Anti-Pearl Harbor.
All right, yeah, wow. Mm. What a branch, what a ledge to go out on all by yourself. But here's the thing. Speaking of the hottest it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You see how I did that, Danny?
This,
I was wondering how that segue was going to go.
I mean, I think I nailed it, frankly.
Speaking of terrorism.
You went out on a big ledge there being anti-Pearl Harbor. Not the biggest ledge that anyone was on the station today. I have not heard this yet, but allegedly the morning show was discussing whether or not our friends over there at Mullion Hall were discussing whether or not tonight's World Baseball Classic final was in fact a must-win game.
312-644-6767. We got a couple of things we haven't touched upon we got to get back to. There's a big game tonight. It is a world championship game. It's just the one game. And Dustin is going to give us his
winner take all. It's a must-win game.
It is a statement must-win game. It's a statement game for Japan, a must-win for the U.S.
I think the other way around.
It is a statement.
It's a must-win game for Japan. It's a statement game for the U.S.
Well, I think it's a must-win for the U.S. If you lose this baseball, Ebner Doubleday, buddy, he'd be peeved.
I disagree.
Oh, their tongues are firmly in cheek.
Firmly in cheek.
Through the entire time.
Firmly in cheek.
They know how ridiculous it sounds.
All right, good.
They're leaning into it.
I like that.
Good the way for that them. Was pitched to us, I thought it was like straight up. Is this a must-win game or a statement game for America?
Which game is it?
I did too. That was firmly in cheek there. All right, good stuff there.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I'm kind of disappointed.
I know. I am too.
What are the chances that Dustin wrote it up really, honestly, as a statement game or must-win game, and those guys laughed about it as they were still executing the segment?
Pretty good chance. They're smart guys.
They're very smart guys. Yeah, no, absolutely. I love the idea of a game seven of championship game. Like, this, I think tonight. Did you say we got a call like that one time, Tanny, on the score?
Yeah, on Dan and Terry on the afternoon show here some years back. It was the night the Blackhawks were in Boston looking to close out a Stanley Cup victory, and this caller called in with a big-time thought.
I just had a comment about the Hawks. This is a big game tonight for them.
Yeah, we got the same. Nice potential cup final winner. Yeah.
Big game.
Big game.
Big game. Well, like, here's the thing. If I know anything about that show, they just excused that comment and let it roll on.
Didn't hammer that person
at all. Everything
was
fine.
No, yeah, it was way too classy to acknowledge that. But no, but the good thing about that is the Hawks had several other big games for years to come after that. They were in another Stanley Cup final. There were so many playoff games after that. We got to play that every time.
Got to work that soundbite out.
Playoff games are big.
There you go.
A big game.
All right, well, at the risk of division, let me ask you this.
Okay.
If the goal is to grow the sport globally and to keep the momentum going from this thing, Is it better for baseball if Japan, who's been driven to get back on top, they won this thing a while back, but they didn't win it last time. They gathered as a team like for 20 days before all the other teams gathered, played exhibitions. Is it Japan victory making the USA still hungry for next time? Better for the sport because USA was hungry this time and all these guys showed up? Or is a USA victory establishing back-to-back supremacy at our game? Is that better for the growth of the sport? What's better tonight, Danny?
I guess for growth of sport, Japan winning is probably better.
I think so too.
Right?
Keeping the USA pissed off and hungry and wanting to show that this is our game. Just because you're getting in bigger globally and you're showing us you know how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been so well received by the players anyway that it's only going to grow, and there are probably enough players that still haven't participated in one yet that they maybe regretted not doing it this time and they'll want to do it the next time. And it's not like guys on Team USA basketball are less interested in playing on the next Olympic team.
When they win
because they also won a gold medal. So they could be establishing and continuing American dominance and all that. So I don't think it matters too much. I think it's the dream final matchup.
Yes.
And I think good game helps. But, man, it could be 10-0 tonight. It could be slaughter rule for the game. And the WBC was still a huge win and a huge success. And the next time around, it'll be even bigger. So I don't think it matters too much, but I guess like if you pin me down, I'd say Japan slightly for both Team USA motivation and just the tune in that country, and it's such a baseball crazed country, is so big. Like here, the World Series will be the biggest baseball game
of the year. That's just how it works, right? Baseball games of the year. In Japan, this is shaping up just based on some of the reports on the ratings and the tune-ins in Japan. Mm-hmm. This will be the biggest baseball game of the year in Japan. So I think that that inherently is probably better for the growth of the game.
I think that that is true. I agree. But I do think that either way, it's turned great. Out amazing because especially like the Americans, the Team USA is having such a good time. They're enjoying themselves, and it's very contagious. And tonight, when they do Shane's bidding and get revenge for Pearl Harbor, it's really going to knock this.
It still needs to be exacted, in my opinion. There's more to be done.
See, we did this thing that we dropped a bomb, which was kind
a
of...
A couple?
It's kind of vicious.
H-bombs.
It's a little
big
mean.
Ones. Yeah, but like he didn't do anything on the baseball side.
They've gotten us back, though, with technology and finance.
Yeah,
and
lots of spies, too.
Yeah.
Smarter schools.
Take it easy, Reggie White.
Again.
You never know what they're up to over there.
Danny, the adult right, in the what? Room.
See, you don't disgusting. Have to say anything. If yeah. you didn't say anything, no one would even be wondering.
Oh, my God.
No. Oh, my God. I'm silent in disgust. Danny is physically trying to, like, emanate, like, advice for you guys to stop talking.
Like, do I hit the dumb button and then get no. screamed at by this guy?
Or, I'm going to yell at you, man.
Yeah.
I'd never yell at you. Are you kidding me?
Never.
Talk to Gabe in Clay Harbor.
We got someone making their score hosting debut.
New teammate.
Stop. Stop that. We're going to welcome them with open arms. Gabe Ramirez and Clay Harbor. Clay Harbor. Making his debut. He got used to be on The Bachelor, among other things. He's going to join us. We'll do a little afternoon show crosstalk next on The Score.
Our favorite Latino here, Gabe Ramirez.
All right, little afternoon show transition. You know, we were talking about this. Like, why don't we do it? We're always available to do it
unless we're doing something.
But sometimes there are different shows, and like sometimes there's no one on after us, and sometimes there's paid program, whatever the case may be, but no continuity. But this is exciting. Gabe Ramirez is here, and Clay Harbor, a 9-year NFL veteran, an alum of The Bachelor, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
And The Bachelorette, I believe.
Oh, wow. Oh, I got to get a picture with you from my wife. Making your score debut. Welcome to The Score, Clay.
And thanks a lot, but you really didn't have to bring up the Bachelor thing, man. I appreciate it, though.
It's, is that a sore subject?
We heard it in the other room, and he's like, "Of course, he said the Bachelor stuff." I'm gonna give him crap.
Danny's a legit fan.
Oh, well, I mean, first of all, I've seen the show a lot. Second of all, I don't mean to, you know, tell state secrets. Are you on Google? Because if you Google your name, it comes up.
What's that?
I'm just saying, The Bachelor.
No,
comes
obviously,
up.
Yeah, I was a part of Bachelor Nation, but I was giving you a hard time for, you know, we're at The Score here, played 9 years in the NFL, you know, and listen, it's like, the guy from The Bachelor.
I could talk to you about Missouri State, Springfield, Missouri. I could talk to you about the Eagles. I could talk about Andy Reid and catching passes from Mike Vick. I've done my research, Clay.
Hey, man, we talked to Kyle Brandt about being on The Real World. In Chicago.
That's an interesting story.
The show goes deep here. You know, it's not just surface level stuff.
Correct. Yeah.
Clearly, Danny is a fan there. Because, you know, he says there's no continuity, but I've been the night guy at The Score for a year now.
Oh, Joe.
Oh, boy. Jesus, yeah, the vibes problems. Around here are horrifying. I'm saying.
Dude, you're the B96 fill-in guy. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
To make it
good
even
suggestion,
worse.
Shane. For a little
I tried not to say that station, Shane, since you gave me crap about it. I'm not allowed to say B96 or Puerto Rican around Shane because then he gives me crap.
You guys talk for 30 seconds at a time.
I'll be honest, man. It's cake over there. I gotta be honest. I've been filling in all week, and it is. So people will be talking to me, and I'm like, give me 1 second. B96, blah, 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 blah. Okay, what were you saying again?
Oh, God. No, FM is an amazing thing.
Yeah,
as opposed to this.
But like Clay said, we are here on The Score. Are you excited to, you know, first go around with somebody? Speaks calls it a blind date, right? Speaks, you've been on a ton of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got to make chemistry. It's kind of fun, man. You get a chance to make chemistry over a couple hours.
You know what it's like? It's kind of like The Bachelor.
Exactly. Thank you. Would you give Gabe your rose?
I don't know. We'll find out, man. We'll see how it goes. You know, we got this night to figure out. We have the chemistry and see if I'll ask him if Gabe
will you accept this rose? Because that's what they say on The Bachelor.
It's, it's pickup football, Clay. So, like, you know, I miss the days as a Ute hanging out with my buddies and go, all right, let's go find a field. All right, 3-on-3. Well, we got 7. 3-on-3 with an automatic quarterback.
Automatic quarterback, yeah.
Let's go. I bet Clay Harbor was killing those games as a little kid.
I'm from Dwight, Illinois, and if you guys have any idea what Dwight, Illinois is, it's a town of 3,000 people, and you know, me and my brother were the only minorities in the whole town. So needless to say, I was the best football and basketball player out there. And I'm like, wow, why am I dunking on all these little kids, man? And you know, I figured out when I started going up into Chicago that I wasn't, you know, a Hall of Famer already. But in a small town, man, I was a force to be reckoned with in those games.
Oh, my God, I bet.
I mean, well, 9 years in the NFL, force to be reckoned with in most games, I would imagine.
Wow. So Gabe, you get a chance to go deep on stuff here tonight. So now
No. You know me, I'm surface level. It's just Bears.
No, but
and I did hear from someone that Clay is probably more of a homer than I am.
Oh, that's hard to believe. Town. That's hard to believe.
So, shout out to Mr. Harrison from CBS too. Told me that Harris, MJ Harris, he said that you were a bigger homer than I was. So I
was
glad
to hear
that.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, man.
What's a homer mean?
This is 670 The Score.
No,
this
blind loyalty. So diehard Bears fan?
Diehard.
Yeah.
Diehard Bears.
So they're winning 17 games this year or 16? How many games?
I mean, I think we can make the playoffs, man. But then again, I lost some credibility last year when I said we might, you know, sneak into the playoffs too. But, you know, going to the training camps, I said I thought we had some talent. You know, I thought Fields was improving and everybody in the team, you know, looking at Mooney, Komet, and I think – you know, those guys were in tough situations. I think this year could really be the year. I mean, you saw what Poles has done. And free agency, we still got all these draft picks, 9-10 draft picks. So I think this could be the year, Gabe. And I know we're going to talk about it a lot, but I like what I'm seeing.
I do feel, you know, I'm right in that space right there. I'm very warm in that space. But I'm curious because I haven't looked over at Danny yet. You know, when you hear something like that, Bears playoffs.
Oh, I mean, listen, the NFC sucks. You know, the NFC is wide open. The NFC North apparently now will go through Detroit, which obviously there's going to be a lot of see it to believe it. To me, the roster is obviously lacking depth and lacking star power. But we did this in 2019, when Mitch had 24 touchdowns, 12 picks, was a Pro Bowl alternate.
Yeah.
It was his second year in the league and his first year in Matt Nagy's system. We were saying, can he take, at the time the comp was, the Jared Goff, Carson Wentz leap for third year in the league, second year in their system? Because when it was for Goff at that time, when he had second year in McVay's system, was in the Super Bowl, and when Wentz had his third year in the league, second year in in Peterson's system, he was MVP through 13 weeks, and the team ends up going to the Super Bowl.
Can you pause there? I just want to live in that summer. There was so much joy and optimism in that summer, and we're going to have it again. It really is, and it's a wonderful thing because the very first night of the football season, it was destroyed.
Right, but like the whole thing, what we are going to be doing, especially when training camp rolls around, the whole focus of this town is going to be, did Fields take the leap? Because if Fields takes a leap and has a 4,400-yard from scrimmage.
Oh, geez, we better be in the playoffs.
30 touchdown. Bears. You know what I mean? Then it'll be like, oh, well, then, yeah, this team could be in the playoffs. This team, you know, if he has a Jalen Hurts.
It happens in the NFL every year.
If he gets MVP vote, you know. But we just don't know. We don't know.
I think the interesting thing for me, and I think when it comes to Justin Fields, it's just so hard to place that tag on him to say that he is going to make that sort of a leap. So then in my mind, I try to process, okay, well, what do the Bears look like with a Justin Fields that just a little bit better, right? And then
they're not a playoff team.
And then that's where I get to this part where I'm like, are they? Can I at least in week 15 see the Chicago Bears logo to the far right where it says in the hunt.
In the hunt. You want in the hunt. At the very least.
I want to be a matrix, you know, algorithmic equation away from getting to the playoffs.
See, I look at wins and losses as pure gravy at this point. Just absolutely gravy. Like, we've gotten smarter watching this stuff and looking for development and watching to see guys click and see the system make a adjustment to the adjustment the defenses did. I think our listeners are ready to watch with that kind of stuff.
I love talking Bears, guys. This is going to be fun. Next couple hours is going to be fun. Hanging out with Clay. Is going to be heading into Cubs baseball. So that should be fun.
Hell yeah. Who do you guys, got anyone coming on? What are we doing?
Yeah, I think we got a guest at 7. Shout out Tyler Buterbaugh. He booked up for NCAA basketball because we want to switch it up. That's like the breakup in the middle of the show. Yeah. Bears, NCAA basketball, and then some more
don't
Bears.
Break all right, up so Tyler said the guy's name is Joe. He doesn't know
what's
what
up,
his
Joe?
Last name is.
What's up, Joe?
He thinks it might be Joe.
Love the vibes. Love the vibes.
Clay, have fun, man, and welcome.
I appreciate it, guys. I'm looking forward to it. And I think Fields will make that leap.
Hell yeah.
He's not going to get worse. You saw what happened to him the second half of the season.
He got
much better.
Yes, he did.
Obviously, they didn't translate to wins. But when you got the worst defense in the league, you're not going to win any games. He's going to get better because he actually has more weapons. DJ Moore, he's going to automatically get better. He's going to have a better offensive line. He's going to have a couple weapons to throw the ball to. He's got better running backs now. He will get better regardless because now he has a number one receiver. So, in my opinion, it's a foregone conclusion. It's how much better will he get, and that depends on what else you put around him in
this
draft.
This is going to be the Gabe and Gabe show. It's going to be great.
I can't wait. I'll just throw away home. This is going to be a good listen. Clay, you're all over Twitter, man. You are a score guy now. Welcome to the station. Can't wait to listen. We had on today... Who did we have?
Carter Hawkins.
Joe. Carter Hawkins. Yeah, the general manager.
Yeah, some guy named Joe.
Yeah, some guy named Joe.
What's up, Joe?
Shout out
Joe
to Hawkins. Joe Person.
Yeah, was on the show today. And thank you to Kevin Lapka, Connor O'Donnell, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Listen to Gabe and Clay for the next few hours. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Yeah, it was supposed to be all fun and games, but obviously it hasn't turned out that way, and if I offended anybody, it was not the case. It was just friends having fun, and as I said, if I offended anybody in any way, shape, or form, I'm sorry.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.